is so true. Oh God, how I need you. Did you come to worship today? I praise you did. Take your Bibles and join with me. Come to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be dealing with a guy's name. We're doing this character study. We're going to be dealing with a guy named Hezekiah and his life. And we're going to break it into a couple of Sundays. This week, we're going to be looking at restoration. And next week, we're going to be looking at revival. And those are some of the things that that God used Hezekiah to bring back to Judah and Jerusalem was restoration and revival. And I'm really looking forward to these couple of weeks. It's really amazing what God has said. I pray that you have come to hear what God has said, not what a preacher has said, but you come to hear the Word of God. Okay, so we're going to be dealing with Hezekiah. So what do we need to know about Hezekiah? Well, the first thing is we need to realize that Hezekiah was nothing like Daddy, and that's a good thing. But you say, how can that be? Doesn't an apple fall close to the tree? Well, not in Hezekiah's. He's not like his dad at all. Well, how was his dad? Well, look over at chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. It says, the last part of that said that Ahaz, Hezekiah's dad, did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord as his father David had done. He didn't do what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, Hezekiah was really worse than that. Hezekiah led in making idols that the tribe of Judah and Benjamin and all of Jerusalem would follow after. Matter of fact, he shut the doors of the temple. He caused there not to be any worship taking place. And for 16 years, it was a desolate place for hearing God's word. But he also burned incense to other gods. That burning incense is an idea of worshiping other gods. Ahaz also burned his children in the abomination of the nations. And boy, when I start thinking about Ahaz and where we are in the world today, it's amazing. Similar, how close we are. He turned away from God. And you know, when you turn away from God, even the thought of God is it just drives you nuts. And so Ahaz was he wanted to do away with everything of God. You know, I think that's the world today. We don't want to think about God. We don't want to think that there is a God. We don't want to have to answer to God. And so we just don't want to think about him. So we're going to do away with everything that has any kind of inkling about God. And that's what Hezekiah, he goes into the temple. He destroys all the articles of worship in the temple, and he shuts the door, because he doesn't want to think about other gods. And that didn't do quite enough, so he starts building altars of him for himself. And he puts them all around Jerusalem so everybody can worship King Ahaz instead of worshiping God. And then he continued, led the nation to follow after and worship other gods. You know, when we turn away from God, life really just continues to spiral out of control until we die. And that's really what happened to Ahaz. He died. But it's interesting, if you go to the last part of chapter 28, it says that he died and they buried him in Jerusalem. But get this, they did not bury him with the kings. Even then, they knew that he was not what he should have been of leading the nation into the presence of God, not away from God. So then we get to Hezekiah. Hezekiah, he's 25 years old, and he takes the reign over the southern tribe, Judah, Benjamin, Jerusalem. He's reigning. Now, I said in the first service, I'm going to share it with y'all too. Do you think there's any kid 25 years old that could be a leader of a nation anymore? I'm wondering how that could be. You know, I'm thinking, man, that would be a tough place. But listen to what it says. Let me read the first two verses of chapter 29. It says, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he, listen to this, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. Wow. Now, what did it say about Ahaz, his dad? He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. How could these two be so different? I mean, really, don't we turn out like daddy? Not in Hezekiah's case. So how was he that different? Can I show you how it was that he was that different? It says in the last part of verse 1, his mother's name was Abiah, or Abby, as he's spoken of in other places, the daughter of Zechariah. Well, who was Zechariah? Well, Zechariah was his granddad, and Zechariah was an advisor to the kings. He was the main advisor to King Uzziah, the good King Uzziah. And he was one that lived a life of righteousness, and he helped lead the nation in all of the ways of the Lord. His influence went from generation to generation. And though Ahaz was terrible, Zechariah's influence on Hezekiah brought a generation back. You know what this says? It says the love of a mother and the influence of a grandfather had an influence on the world. Can I say to our grandparents here, don't give up. Your influence will have impact in the world. Don't give up. So here is Hezekiah. He's 25 years old, and it's really pretty cool. Look with me in verse 3, how he starts his reign. Verse 3, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. 16 years of neglect, 16 years of the nation turning their back on God. And here comes Hezekiah in the first year, in the first month, he realizes the first thing that needs to be dealt with is get right with God. Whew, man, what an amazing young man he was. We got to bring the nation back to that right relationship with God. So how did he do it? Well, he calls the priests and the Levites. You know, those people that were responsible for keeping the house of the Lord open and functioning. Look with me in verse 5. And it says, and he said to them, hear me. Really, what he was saying is, listen up, I got something really, really, really important for you guys to hear. You Levites, you priests, listen to me. He says, now go and sanctify the house of the Lord of your fathers and carry out all the stuff. Is that what he said? Nope, that's not, I read that wrong. Look what he says. He says, now sanctify yourselves. and then sanctify the house of the Lord. You realize there's an order here that must be followed. If we're going to have restoration, if we're going to come into the place where we're restored to that right relationship with God, it's got to start in me. It's got to start in my heart. And then I am prepared to be used of God for other things. But it's got to start in me. Sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of God. Next thing he does is he calls out his dad. Look, verse 6. He says, "For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the sight of the Lord our God. For they have forsaken him and turned their faces away from him and the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him." How'd they do it? They have shut up the doors. You know what it's talking about? He led them to break that relationship with God. Of the doors of the vestibule. But you put out the lamps. There's no teaching of God's principles that were going on. And you have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place of the Lord our God. What was he saying? They'd shut the doors. We don't need this relationship with God. We put out the light. We don't need God's truth. And we've stopped burning incense. We stopped worshiping God. We don't need to commune with God. That's what they had done. Normal consequences of sin always comes about. Look with verse 8. Therefore, this is Hezekiah, therefore the wrath of the Lord has fallen on Judah and Jerusalem. Do we realize that that's what happens? You know, when we turn our back on God, there's going to be consequences of sin. It's just still that way today. And here, he's saying, the consequences of sin fell. Now, Hezekiah was really, well, let me read on, because the consequences of sin are this. He says, therefore, the wrath of the Lord has fallen upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, they died, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Wow. Now, Hezekiah, when he was talking about this, he was talking physically, that what had resulted of them turning their back on God was death and captivity. But guys, can I tell you, there is a spiritual side to that. When we turn our back on God, we're going to die spiritually, and the world's going to take us captive. There's a consequence of turning our back on the Lord. Now, for restoration to take place, Hezekiah realized there needed to be a change of heart. Look what he says, verse 10. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant, some translations say a new covenant, with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may be turned away from us. Hezekiah realized that there had to be a change of heart. And that change of heart couldn't be just in the king. It needed to be in the whole nation. You know, for restoration to take place, it's going to start in the heart. If we're going to be in a right relationship with God, it's got to start in the heart. And not only in the heart of leaders, but in the heart of individuals. You see this new covenant. And it's really not new. There's nothing new about God. God's covenants are always permanent. It's we need a new commitment to our covenant relationship with God. We need a new heart of commitment and determination and desire to be who he wants us to be. And so he calls the priests and the Levites, and he calls them. He said, listen, you got to hear. You got to see what God's doing. Look in verse 11. He said, my sons, talking to the Levites and the priest, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you, listen to this, to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister to him and worship him. Burn incense. You know that call, he said, don't miss the opportunity today to stand before the Lord, to serve the Lord, to minister to the Lord, to worship the Lord. You see, Hezekiah was calling the whole nation back to the essence of humanity. And do you know what the essence of humanity is? The whole purpose of humanity is to know God and to be known by him. And when we know him and we realize we are known by him, then we are prepared to make him known in a world that needs to know him. That's our part, to make him known. That was the purpose of the Levites and the priests. But it's the same today. It's your purpose. It's my purpose. It's to know him, to be known by him, and as that relationship is right, to make him known in the world. So what happened? Well, jump down there, verse 15 with me. These are the priests and the Levites, and it says, and they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. They came together. They sanctified themselves. They became one in heart, in mind, in purpose. They realized they were called back to that place of what they were supposed to be doing in the first place. It wasn't a new purpose. It was the same purpose, but with a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit moving through them. It was experiencing it in a new way. And so what did they do? Well, they cleansed the house of the Lord. But how did they do that? Well, look in verse 16. And it said, then the priest went into the innermost part of the house of the Lord and cleansed it. Where's that? That was the Holy of Holies. That was that holy place that only God is to reside in. They had to start in the innermost spot. You know, they could have started on the outside, you know. Well, let's put a new, you know, a new coat of paint on it. Make it look good. Make people think, well, you know, we're doing something great. Let's look good. We want the world to think we're doing good, so let's just look good on the outside. But looking good on the outside, as Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, woe, you scribes and Pharisees, you whitewashed sepulchers. You remember that? That's painting the outside. You look pretty good on the outside, but inside there's dead men's bones. I think the priests and the Levites realized what Hezekiah was saying, what he was leading them to, what the Lord had spoken to them, was they had to start at that holy place, deep inside, where only God is supposed to reside. They started there. And then it says, the last part of it says, and they brought out all the debris that they had found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And then the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. If you go with me to Israel in February, we're going to take you to the Kidron Valley, the brook Kidron. And you know where that's located? It's located right outside the old walls of Jerusalem. Matter of fact, it's right outside the eastern gate of the old city. You know what was inside the eastern gate of the old city? The temple. So what did they do? The priests and the Levites, they went in, they started cleaning it out. They brought it out, and they took it down to the valley Kidron. Anybody that was going into Jerusalem, most went through the eastern gate if they were going to the temple. What does that say? They brought out all the rubbish, the trash that was in that place where only God should be, and they laid it out in a place for everyone to see. You know, there was a time when they had to get honest with what was in that holy place, and it was rubbish and garbage. They had to get honest. And then they had to get open. They had to be willing to bring it out into the public eye. And then they needed to humble themselves and say, listen, this was the rubbish that was polluting the temple. So what does any of this have to do with us today? Can I say everything? This story has everything to do with us today. You see, we are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, here's the deal. I'm not getting on to the world. I'm really trying to challenge us as the church. In a world that has gone crazy. Can I tell you, I believe the condition of our nation is the condition of Ahaz. You see, we have shut the doors to the house of the Lord. Ah, you don't have to believe in Jesus. You just got to believe something and be sincere. You're going to be fine. You know, all roads lead to God if you're sincere. You don't even really have to believe in God. If there is a God, He's going to accept you the way you are. Everything is fine. And we've allowed that. We don't challenge that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, not a, the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. When we let it go, oh, you also put out the light of truth. You see, there's no such thing as absolute truth today, right? I mean, everything is relative. What's true for you doesn't have to be true for me, right? No. God says His word is eternal. It doesn't change. It is the truth. We need to understand that. And we've stopped seeing the need to pray without ceasing. We've stopped realizing the need for worship, communing in the presence of God. Now, can I tell you this? The condition of the nation is a reflection of the condition of the church. And the condition of the church is a reflection of the individuals that make up the church. And you see, it's not the world, it's us. We have shut the door. We have put out the lamp. We have stopped seeing the need to worship. It's me. It's you. And we need a heart transformation. We need a new commitment to our covenant with God. We need the Holy Spirit to blow a fresh breath into the church of God so that we can be the people of God. We need to hear the call of God. You remember what Hezekiah said to them? Don't neglect the now. Hear the call of God to stand before the Lord. To serve the Lord, to minister to the Lord, to worship the Lord. Now, guys, the world out there and a lot of Christians today are saying, we got to learn how to be better people. We got to treat our fellow man better. We got to do away with all the racism and all the negative stuff that's out there. We got to do a better job at it. Guys, I want to tell you, as a church, we got to realize that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to stand before the Lord, to serve the Lord, to minister to the Lord, to worship the Lord. And when we are standing before Him, serving Him, ministering to Him, and worshiping Him, it is then that God pours the grace of God into us that we can be better in the world, and the world will be blessed through us. You see, it's not about us, it's not about them, it's about Him. And until our hearts are completely, totally committed to Him, there will not be heart change and transformation. You see, we got to come to the place that we surrender to His purpose. We have to sanctify ourselves. One heart, one mind, one purpose. Not about me. And then here's the hard part. I got to get rid of the debris that's in the holy place. I got to confess the sin that has polluted my holy place. And the hard part is, what most of us are unwilling to do do it publicly, where others can see. You see, I just kind of want to whitewash the outside so people think I'm doing okay, rather than dealing with the stuff that's causing me to turn my back on God. I've got to come to that place that I don't care what people think, that I come to God honestly, openly, with humility, and scrub everything there so that I can worship Him. You see, restoration only comes through repentance. And repentance is not naming my sin. It's turning from my sin and turning to God. And I've got to follow Him. So the question to this morning is, do you hear Hezekiah's call to sanctify yourself today? You know, to change the world begins with me changing my heart and allowing God to become God and to lead me each step of every day. Hear that call? Will we hear and respond? Father, we come to you today. We thank you for Hezekiah. We thank you for a young man that had wisdom beyond his age, that knew that the first thing that had to happen is we need to get right with you before we can get the world right. And so, Father, my prayer today is that we will hear your call, your word, that your word is truly a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, that we will recommit ourselves to follow your judgments, your righteous judgments. Lord, we find ourselves in a terrible spot, a lot of injustice and things that are going on. But Lord, we come to you, and Lord, we offer up to you our free will offering. We ask that you receive that. Lord, teach us your judgments, your principles, your precepts, your plans for our lives. And may we walk. Cleanse our hearts today. Make it pure. As Psalm 51 says, then sinners will be converted. Lord, I pray that you will cleanse our heart so that we will be useful for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to just have a time of worship. I'm going to just ask that you spend some time saying, Lord, what rubbish do I need to get out of my holy place so that I can serve you? But however the Lord speaks, spend some time as the guys sing. You just spend some time in His presence.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free.
pray that you have sensed his presence this morning through the amazing songs and praise and through his word. Realize that he is calling us. He's wanting us to experience him today. And I pray that we'll do that. This is normally our time of worship and giving. I want to just take a moment to say thank you for your generosity. You have been such an amazing giving church, and I want to praise God for that, that we've remained faithful and being able to do things for other churches that God is leading us to do, and I praise the Lord for that. There are offering plates at the back that you can leave your offering in. I also want to remind you that next Sunday at the 10:30 worship time, we're going to be honoring our seniors. We've got 8 seniors. Ted reminded me to tell you, there's 2 boys and 6 girls, so it may change what you want to do. But we're asking that everybody participate in getting some gift cards for them. Misty has gotten baskets and has some other gifts for them and some snacks and different things, but we want to honor them, so we're going to try to put some gift cards and some interesting gift cards in each of the baskets so that they are blessed by Kentucky Town Baptist Church. And whether they're going to school or whether life is just going to start, we want them to know that we are proud of them and we want to encourage them. So if you can participate, there's a offering plate in the back that has gift cards in it. If you don't want to get the gift cards but you want to give money, you can put that money back there and we'll take care of getting the gift cards for you. But we want you to participate with us as we honor our seniors next Sunday at 10:30 in our morning worship time. So please be a part, come and we'll enjoy and honor them together, and I know it's going to be good. Well, God is good. And all the time.
God is good.
Let's stand. Let's leave with a song in our heart.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away.
God bless you.